There's a great deal of enthusiasm for foraging now, both in the UK and in different cultures around the world. Many people have never stopped the simple practice of picking or gathering nuts, berries, mushrooms, and what we might call weeds to eat. On the other hand, many have never started foraging because they don't know what's good to eat and what might be poisonous. So the growing popularity of learning about wild food and beginning to enjoy it is not just about finding green food, but also about discovering the delights of new flavors and textures and foods that our ancestors would have known and regularly eaten. We need to keep learning from what our ancestors knew. Now you're all wondering what on earth foraging has to do with our wedding at Cana. Just bear with me, and it will all become clear. In our gospel reading this morning, we heard that Jesus and his disciples had been invited to a wedding at Cana in Galilee. And if you mention to anyone, they'll probably say, ah, yes, that's when Jesus changed water into wine. The scene is a village wedding feast, and in Palestine, a wedding was a really notable occasion, with the celebrations lasting up to a week. Just imagine if this happened in our society. I, for one, would be tired out. The newly married couple didn't go away on honeymoon, but kept open house and were treated like royalty. And in a life where there was much poverty and constant hard work, this week of festivity was a wonderful and joyous occasion. Generosity was paramount, with plenty of food and wine to last the whole week. I don't know if it's going to be like your wedding, Kate and Ollie. No? Epiphany, the showing of God in the actions of Jesus, takes a familiar turn in our gospel reading this morning. Here is the one who shows us what heaven is like. A wedding banquet of fine food and wine, where everyone is invited to celebrate. Yet this wedding feast runs into trouble when, probably after much drinking and merrymaking, there is no more wine. Cana is very near Nazareth, so Mary and Jesus more than likely knew the family. His mother and his disciples gladly shared with this couple on their special day, but something went wrong. The wine ran out. For a Jewish feast, wine was essential. Without wine, said the rabbis, there is no joy. In fact, hospitality in the East is a sacred duty. The hosts will be shamed, the guests will be thirsty. Mary, the mother of Jesus, notices and acts to save the occasion by asking her son for help. It is she who has community in mind and an expectation that all will be well in God's kingdom here and now. The miracle of changing water into wine is one of blessing, not magic. Jesus takes the ordinary water, the stuff which keeps us alive, and in blessing it, he transforms it into the stuff of celebration. Life is now joyous. The host is not shamed, and the guests can continue to celebrate this wedding. Once again, God's delight in humanity is made manifest. Now, we're not told whose wedding it was or what kind of place was Cana, yet the key points of the story are there, in the little things going on around. This is one of the characteristics of John's gospel. We need to look behind the story to find the treasure. The notion that God's kingdom will be a time of celebration is deeply embedded in our scriptures. Examples of God's warmth and hospitality are to be found throughout the early books of the Bible, the prophets, and many of the ancient stories. Yet Christianity has often been perceived to be all about God's judgment and retribution. But those passages that tell of humanity being judged, found guilty and cast into darkness, form just a small part of the picture. Indeed, all of today's readings are about feasting and celebration. Even before Abram gets a name change and becomes Abraham, he is given what sounds like communion by Melchizedek, a mysterious priest king. If you want to know, today's other reading is from Revelation about the wedding feast in heaven. The wedding of today's gospel may chime with our own experience, a familiar occasion where family and community meet, where the guests are offered fine food and drink, and there is a blessing for a new family being formed, a new beginning. There is a mirroring of heaven and earth here. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Here in the midst of the ordinary stuff of life, we can find blessing, as we might forage for tasty berries and rejoice at finding them. The author tells us that this is the first of the signs that Jesus did to show who he was and to show the way he works. So it's important Jesus uses natural elements in the world to put his message across, things that we can touch and taste and see and feel in order to bring us his blessing. In baptism, it's water, the outer cleansing signifying the inner renewal. At communion, it's the bread and wine, so we become one with him and he with us. Jesus uses other things to bring us his blessing: the ring at a wedding, oil for healing, and the bishop's hand at confirmation. All these things are the outward and visible signs of inward spiritual grace. Yet no matter how well something is planned or how much effort is put in, life is imperfect and disorganized. The wine ran out at the wedding in Cana. Our own celebrations are often messy affairs, when people fall out and quarrel, right in the midst of what should be a joyous occasion. So too, when you're foraging for food, you will get scratched and muddy, tired and maybe disheartened, but just a glimpse of what you're searching for makes it all worthwhile. We can find that blessing, that sharing of food and drink, that joyful surprise when we let go of striving and just let it happen. The God who fed Abram, who prepares the banquet in heaven, who brought more wine to the villagers in Cana, is simply waiting to fill us with words and ideas so we can follow him wherever he takes us. So here we have this family wedding where the wine has run out. In steps Mary, Jesus' mother, turning to her son and stating, "They have no more wine." You can just imagine Jesus' expression. Oh, can't you? Oh, no. His reply is also interesting. "Woman, it's not my time yet." Yet Mary's request to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Well, there just happened to be some storage jars standing to one side, these water jars. Jesus told the servants to fill them with water. This they did. You can just picture that scenario. Mary looking at Jesus looking at his mother, the servants looking at each one of them. But that's when the water changed into wine. And you know, my friends, John goes to great lengths to tell us how much water there was. 6 stone jars, each with 20 or 30 gallons. And they filled them to the brim. That's about 150 gallons. Some jars, there's a picture, I mean, they are huge, massive. Some party, 1,200 bottles of wine. When Jesus does things, he does them well. In fact, the master of the ceremonies commented on the good quality of the wine. Now, why did John go to such detail in telling this story? Because he says this was so that Jesus could show his glory. to show what a difference he can make, not only to incidents like this, but whenever we invite him to join us. He can change water into wine, not only a wedding party or any party when people come together, but our lives, if only we do as he tells us. "Do whatever he tells you," said his mother to the servants. "The treasure is not to be found in the water, the wine, or the stone jars, but in people's lives." We come this morning to worship Jesus, to offer our lives afresh to him. We may come broken in spirit, hurt, angry, and confused, not knowing where or what we are to do next. But as Jesus takes them, so he takes us. Whenever two or three gather in his name, he is with us. We are taken into his presence, and just as water changed into wine, so we gather here today to receive ourselves back changed. We become transformed like the wine. It's between Jesus and us. This is the richest blessing that Jesus can give us, his glory in us. Take it. Ask for more. He's longing to fill us to overflowing with his spirit. Don't hold back or be afraid. Go for it and be changed forever. Only he knows if our hearts are changed, my friends. We can't hide anything from him. Bring your failures, your hopes, and your worries to him. He will show us the way, and he will protect us against the nasty onslaughts of the evil one. That's his promise. This first sign showed his disciples who he was, and they put their trust in him. Are we prepared to do that? Are we ready for that abundance that God showed us at this wedding? Do we want to be half full or filled to overflowing? To do his work, we need to be renewed and transformed with all that he wants to share with us, to be equipped with his gifts and protected with his heavenly armor. We need to pray for courage, to embrace what needs changing in our own lives and those around us. What John was sharing with us in this narrative is not just for then, but forever. It's ongoing and will last until Jesus comes again, and then we will share the heavenly banquet feast in eternity. How amazing is that? Whenever Jesus comes into a person's life, there is a new quality, which is like turning water into wine. Without Jesus, life is dull and flat and stale. When Jesus comes into it, life becomes vivid and sparkling and exciting. Without Jesus, life is drab and uninteresting. With Jesus, it's thrilling and exhilarating. Do you feel like that? If you do, and be honest, we all feel dry and lackluster at times, then ask him into your life afresh. He's just waiting to fill us with his abundance, like those water jars. Our life with him may not be easy. He never said it would be. But Jesus is always with us by his Holy Spirit. When we invite him into our lives, he can change our words into action, as he did the water into wine, and tell us to go and work for him. Maybe he's kept the best until now for you and for me. So be courageous, my friends. Let's together taste the new wine that God offers. For new every morning is his love for us. Go from this place filled with gratitude and praise for his sacrifice, empowered with his spirit, and assured of his peace and love. Amen.